All right, all right. Welcome to Broker Boys. Derek is out of town because he is busy and an adult. We do have my wife, though.
I'm a guest star.
She's a guest star.
Yes.
And we also have Tron over here as well.
Yo.
So this week, we're going to be talking about how to improve your money the most natural way. And that's through looking for a better job. You know, if you hate your job, if your job makes you miserable, there is always a way to get a better job. You know, notably, just go out and look. You know, you're not going to find the best jobs in the world, you know, on Indeed or Monster or whatever it is. And none of this is financial advice. I'm not telling you to go out and quit your job. So don't, you know, take this as, you know, oh, I should go do it. But, you know, if you are miserable, you know, I'd recommend it. So this is something that my wife is currently going through.
Oh, my God.
I know, right? That's why you're here. You know, pretty much, you know, you're going to take a pay cut if you go to a new job.
I know.
But if you're lucky and you know how to, you know, talk and negotiate, you could get, you know, your same pay, a pay raise, something even better. But yeah, she's looking for a better job because she hates her job.
I don't hate my job. It just has become too much. And I'm acknowledging the fact that I've hit my burnout.
Yeah, when you hit your burnout, like most people in the United States despise their job. It's a necessary evil that you have to do. And you're like, oh my God, I hate it. Like Tron, like without saying what you do, you know, do you love your job?
No, the benefits and pay are great, but I hate my job.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and, you know, you could go out there and see if there's a job that'll pay you $10 or even $5 more an hour than what you're making currently.
I could, but I know that there isn't for what I want to do.
I mean,
if you work your dream job, you make no money.
You know, but here's another thing. You know, a lot of these jobs will test for, you know, marijuana, and that's really what's keeping most people down.
Oh, right. Fuck, I'm supposed to be stopping. I'm not going to stop. I have a medication that makes me test positive for weed. I have an alibi.
I mean, here's the thing.
You
want
to give me some clean pee?
I can.
Then yeah, I'm settled. It's perfect.
This is all not financial advice.
None of this is financial advice. None of this is advice. You know, I am not condoning the use of fake pee.
But you are.
Not my words. Not my words. Oh, look. Yeah, I'm going to. Ben's coming into the room. What up, Ben?
Hello? I was going to say what up, bitch, but you beat me to it.
Hey, you can't say bad words in this podcast.
I can't? No. You're going to bleep that out?
Probably not, but.
Wait, so I can't say the F word?
No. Not
or the N word?
Definitely not.
What about the C word?
No.
Yeah, don't do that.
Aww.
Nope. Not on this one. But yeah, go out and look for. We're talking about getting a better job if your job is horrible or you're not making enough money at it.
Oh, so like what jobs are out there?
We're doing Broker Boys right now. Yeah, okay. If you hate your job, you know, you can go out, go to companies that you want to look that you want to work for. You know, find something that seems interesting to you, and kind of, you know, go on and see what they're willing to pay you. Or you can go to your boss and ask for a raise.
My boss is giving me a raise, and I'm so resentful of it. Because I feel like I don't deserve it. Yeah. I feel like it's bullshit. He's giving me a raise and none of my employees. Just me.
Well, I wouldn't. That means you're a good worker. I wouldn't be resentful. I would never be resentful for free money.
No, it's fucking bullshit.
For money.
Ah, I'm going to have to bleep, bleep, bleep.
Oh, sorry. I forgot.
Yeah.
I say it like every other word, though. It's like, because I'm a basic B word.
You're like a basic girl.
Yeah. Starbucks. I drink Starbucks and everything. Well, actually, no. I only get Starbucks like once a month.
Yeah, whatever. But, yeah, you know.
There's a ton of jobs out there. Tons you can make really good pay.
Tons of jobs. And
it's like, what kind of work are you willing to do? What are you willing to do to be, you know, eligible for said jobs? Because some jobs you have to be.
A lot of jobs require you to have a certification or something to say, I can do this. Now,
Right. Most
people take the route of college to go do this. Yeah, you know, and it is smart. It's a, you know, hey, I have a diploma and a ton of debt.
College,
please hire me.
I went to college for free, and it was the bee's knees.
I'll tell you, college is the easiest way, in my opinion, to nothing. Let's say I come from nothing, and I want to elevate myself out of, you know, like being poor, like out of a status, out of being on food stamps, things like that. If I want education, is a lot of people's escape away from that. And the reason why is because the fact is, on average, if you have a degree, a college degree, you make on average more money than people that don't. It's not saying, hey, I'm going to always make more money than everybody that doesn't have a degree. That's not true. That's not how America works.
What?
Okay, so I was once told that when you have a college degree, A, it shows that you have the knowledge, but B, it also shows that you're willing to take direction and succeed under said direction, which is the second biggest thing from going to college.
Exactly. And it also shows your employer that you're able to stick with them.
Mm-hmm.
So if employers don't want to hear, oh, well, you know, do you have education beyond high school? And you go, yeah, I do. Okay, what degrees do you have? Oh, I never finished anything. That tells me as an employer that you as an employee can't stick with something for long enough and finish it out. So as an employer, I'm looking for an employee that's going to, A, do a really good job, do what they're supposed to do, and B, stick around. Because the worst headache is just having really bad retention rate and turnover all the time. And then you're constantly hiring, constant. And it's a big pain in the butt as an employer.
Yeah, I mean, like, honestly, I just had to go.
If you have really good retention rate, that shows you're a good company too.
I had to just go do my review, my annual review, and they're like, "Come in here." And like one of the goals was like retention rate. I'm like, "How am I supposed to like change that? How am I supposed to help out there?" They're like, "You can just be nice to the new guys and not tell them that they're probably gonna die." I'm like, "No, I'm not gonna lie to these kids." But, you know, it's pretty much the best way to, you know, get into a company is get in on a lower level. You know, find a good company that, you know, is really good and just take, like, the bottom tier that they have and then work your way up from there.
And that's really and I want to chime in here. And I feel like you can do that with pretty much, like, any company. I don't know if that's the best way, but it's a lot of people, and you will do it. If you stay with a company forever and you have ambition and goals, and you make it known that, hey, I'm trying to move into management, or I'm trying to, you know, lateral into this position, and this is where I want to end up. And if you stick with it and do everything, you'll make it happen. It'll happen for you for sure.
Yeah, I mean,
but
like,
again, there's also, like, in my opinion too, why do that if I'm looking at a career at a job, and I go, okay, well, I'm going to stay here and do everything I need to know so when Joe retires in 10 years, I can take Joe's position. So that's cool and all, and you get to build up all those benefits and all that extra retirement time and all that and everything, and you get to be comfortable and not have to change or do anything. But if you can just lateral into that position with another company, like in 2 years instead of 10 years, I say you just go ahead and go for it. Put yourself in that position, especially if you have the knowledge and the know-how and can, you know, be a good candidate for it. Then why stick around for another 8 years to get the same position just because, you know, you feel like you can put in the work and get there when you've already put in the work? That's kind of, it just depends.
You know, one thing
that, like, with all this that everyone's talking about, I think that's also, like, not necessarily true on a lot of things nowadays, because nowadays we have a lot of, like, different people change, what's it called? They change their profession so often that, like,
yeah, their careers, yep.
Yeah, and stick it, like, there's not any more, I'm sticking with this job for like 20 years and then I'm going to get my retirement with this job and my pension with this job. Because, well, like, that's nowadays, pensions aren't around, pensions aren't there anymore, though. Like, they're non-existent. Like, the whole thing that we're talking about kind of right now is a fading type of job market. Even going to like college, you have a better financial opportunity if you go to like a trade school instead of like a traditional 4-year. And again, it just depends on like what your career is, but most people who are coming out of high school doesn't know what their career is going to be. So like having them sign up for like that 4-year thing is just already putting them back financially.
I mean, like, one of the things, you know, I'm kind of looking at, you know, career wise, like, I'm obviously a trucker right now, but, you know, career wise down the road, I kind of want to work on electrified vehicles, like electrified garage, Teslas.
That's a great idea because it's only moving that way.
Yeah.
All these laws being passed. Yeah. 30 years, combustion engines are going to be gone skis.
Yeah. Everything is moving that way. And, you know, if I have all the experience, everything, I can just open up my own garage. And everyone, you know, obviously these old-fashioned garages are still going to be a thing. But, you know, everyone's
going to have to convert.
Yeah, and then it's like, okay, I need to replace this, or I need to do some programming on your car, or this or that. Yeah, that's going to cost you $10,000.
That's going to be insanely... That job right there is pretty scary, you got to think, because in the future, if we're moving away from combustion motors, if it just goes electrical and we don't go... Hydrogen isn't financially... everybody's like, oh, they'll have hydrogen cars. They can get their combustion motors to hydrogen. No, hydrogen isn't a... It's not dollar-wise to convert. It's not energy-efficient to convert hydrogen to a fuel source. So that's off the bat, unless they can figure out how to do that on the cheapy. But they haven't, and they've been trying to do that for 60 years. So you're looking at electrical.
Yeah, they
exactly
do
what
have.
You're saying.
Yeah, but like I want to do that... But now I have to figure out, you know, the path to get there. You know, what do I need to know? You know, do I have to, like, go work for Tesla directly?
That's what I would recommend, honestly. I'd go work for one of these manufacturers in a manufacturing shop or at one of the repair facilities and say, hey, I want to learn how to work on these vehicles and these motors. And these electrical motors are simple, but work on all the other little finite things
like,
inside
of them.
Yeah, like,
I want to, you know how to, you know, take apart... It's like Rich Rebuilds. You know, he has the electrified garage now. And whereas, you know, Tesla wanted to charge someone like a ridiculous, like $30,000 to like fix something in their car. I'm like, that's what the car is worth. He did it for like $1,700. I'm like, still, that's good money.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that skill is going to. I mean, people that work now, every mechanic now, I mean, sure, there's going to be some things that are going to stay the same. But for the most part, all the complicated stuff is going to go to electrical. So either all these dealers that have repair shops and maintenance things, they're going to have to send all their employees to be trained, which they'll do a few. But what they'll probably do is a lot of these people retire and they'll just hire people that have like a tech degree, like a 2-year certification. I went to school to work on it, just like WyoTech or some bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, like WyoTech, but, you know, people that sat in a classroom all day, you know, don't know what it's like to get grease under their fingernails. What?
So in my field, the veterinary field, there's two types of people. There's people who went to the college and now they're going into the field. And there's people who started out on the loader bombs like kennel techs and they get trained up to be a full technician. Any type of day, I'm going to choose the one with experience over the one who went to college every single day because they know how to use their hands. They know how
to
handle animals.
There's a problem. You can go to a shop. I'm going to stop you right there because I've had experience doing this. You can go to a shop and there'd be a, what's it called, ASC, master technician, up front with the whole thing certified. Doesn't mean he's working on your freaking car.
Mm-mm.
It does not. He might be, he'll say, oh, all my work is supervised. He has some kid wrenching on your car. I had my truck, I brought it in, the Suburban.
Yeah.
And I had the Hydro Boost system on my braking system. It's a pump. I had it replaced. Well, there's a bracketing pin that sits in the reservoir on that thing that keeps it together. The person that worked on it didn't even put that, but they threw the pin away. So I had to have a, I had to take it to another shop and they realized this. I was like, hey, what's up with this bracket? And I asked them, they're like, oh, that goes to this. I mean, that's what I thought. But what? Oh, they it has a pin that you have. So I had to special order a pin. Luckily, the mechanic was able to kind of make one and just put it in there and it worked. But still, I was like, dude, this came from a shop with an ASC master technician. But I know for a fact that guy didn't work on it. Some kid worked
on
it.
Well, I mean, like, you have, like, to become ASC master technician, it takes a few years to get that. It's not an overnight thing. It's not, oh, I went to a class. Oh, I went to
But what I'm saying is you don't know. Sometimes you go to the – unless they go to the shop and you personally watching a guy work on your vehicle, you don't know who's working.
Well, most of the time you watch someone work on your vehicle and you don't even know what they're doing. It's like, what are you taking off? And it's like you get someone under their hood and most people are like, I don't know what this is. I don't know what that is. And it's like, well – that is your coolant reservoir. Don't fucking drill a hole into it. And that is your alternator. It's just basic stuff. So that's why I want to get into this career field. And if there's any, nonsense in this that is advice, get into an in-demand career field in the future. Kind of invest into the future.
That's all it is.
Invest in yourself, invest in the future, invest into what you think will be big money, and owning a shop for these cars that will break down all the time. They'll require replacement batteries. iPhones do it all the time, require replacement batteries. These Teslas, these Nissan Leafs, these hybrid vehicles require replacement batteries. So if you're that guy that can get in there and do it and has the know-how, and then, you build up a rapport with the people around you in your town and people come to you. And it's like, yeah, okay, now I'm going to get a bigger shop and I'm going to train all my people correctly. I'm going to send them to school. Okay, get a bigger shop. And then who knows? You just have like this giant repair facility. Everyone brings in their Teslas. Everyone brings in their, whatever other electric vehicles there are at that time. And it becomes awesome.
Ford's gonna. Everybody has one. The F1 have one.
Ford F-150 Lightning.
Before that, they had the E-Mach. I mean, Audi has one coming out. Mercedes has one now.
And if I can get,
Kia's got a couple. Hyundai's got a couple.
But how
Chevy's
cool
got, had a,
would
Chevy's
it be?
Had the Bolt forever.
Yeah, I mean, how cool would it be to be the one that can work on these giant electric semis? Because that's gonna be money.
Get in with whoever that is, and that's just another mechanic. And honestly, you're just trading combustion, and there's a lot of moving parts. You're trading in things that you're just trading for electrical motors. And all in all, electrical motors aren't that complicated.
So yeah, that's they're
really not.
But now I have to find my way to get from being a truck driver to being a mechanic, because I'm still going to need to know all like the official ways how to do something. Other than watching a YouTube video, I'm like, oh, damn it, I messed it up.
See, and here's where schooling comes in, and it's important. Like, it's unless you're a professional athlete, and you grew up playing something, even then you're learning it. But unless you're, like, super talented and just fall into a really high-paying job like that, you're going to have to acquire the skill to do said job. And that's where, like, either it's trade or if it's college or if it's an internship. And that's another thing that it provides. If you go to good colleges for bachelor's degrees, that's like an electrical engineering, they have really good internship positions, better than a technical school. But
well, I mean, like
schools have
always being like a paid internship, unless like you're bringing nothing and they're teaching you how to do something.
Well, even then, it's not like you're not getting anything. Who cares? I'm acquiring the knowledge. How else am I supposed to get it? You work under somebody. That's another way. But it's just like the age-old thing. When you're making money, there's only really a couple ways to do it. And you're either providing a service or you're providing a product. Like, that's really the two ways you make money. Service, product. When you break it down really anyway, that's what you do. And so, yeah, they have these high paying careers that are in demand. You need to acquire the skills that the employer wants that they're trying to pay for it. Like for all the tech guys, like people that are in tech companies, like, do you have the skill to do what I need to complete this project? Yeah.
Yeah, for okay. like Google well, or Facebook. Yeah, if you know
there's
how to.
There's a bunch of them, tons of them. Pharmaceutical company.
Everything. Like,
anybody
like,
that has an app. Anybody that has an app. All hired some tech guy.
Anybody yep. that has a website, they hired some tech guy to come do it.
Yeah.
And
much.
Some
well,
of these
I mean,
tech guys.
You can do that nowadays, it's all.
Yeah, tech. Well, I mean, if you know how to. If you knew how to do it back in the day, you're using like Dreamweaver. But like even back in the day, knowing how to make a website, that was the in-demand thing that made you a ton of money.
Right. It's just a skill that did because they know once they're willing to fork out all bunch of money because they know after they do. Well, those jobs are cool and all, but you got to remember in that field, too, is usually you work somewhere for a while, complete a project, and then you're out of work till you find the next job. So those are like, I've talked to a lot of those people and they're like, okay, I work for this app or I work for this company doing this software programming. And then they worked for them for X amount of months or whatever, made a ton of money, made really good money. Then they were out of work and they were trying to find another job. Or that what they would do, they'd be smart. You know, they'd make like 170K in a year, the project would be over and they'd save a lot of that money so they can live off it while they were looking for another position. So that's the only bad thing about that kind of work. But
yeah, I
no,
mean,
a mechanic,
like,
that's for, a steady job. That's I go to work and I'm going to work there. Like you can do that until you want to retire. You yeah. can do anything until you want to retire. I just would hate, I don't know. Me as having a family, stability is important for me because anything's a calculated, weighed risk assessment, risk and reward. How risky am I willing to do this versus reward? And it, the lifelong saying is, you know, there's no reward without risk. And that's kind of true. Like if you want to be an entrepreneur and be a billionaire entrepreneur and do all this, blah, 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 there's a lot of risk involved. And I love that like, you go on Shark Tank, anybody can do this, anybody can be, that's not true. They're lying to you. Not anybody can do it.
No, if you don't have a patent for something, you know, you're out of here. And like, you know, Kevin O'Leary can look at you and be like, I'm taking that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can just copy it myself. Like, what's making keep me from ripping you off? But they're like, oh, anybody can do this. Like, we all came from nothing, blah, blah. That's true and all. It's fine and all for them to say. But for them to say anybody can do this and everybody, not everybody can do it. Anybody can, but not everybody. And yeah, there's success stories out there, but there's a whole lot more failed stories. And there, you hear the billion, a few billionaires out there have their little talk shows that, oh, I failed 4 times and eventually I made it because I kept trying. Yeah, you probably will. But
yeah, when you have daddy to come and bail you out.
Yeah. Was their family out on the street? Did they have options, though? Or did they have options in different security where they could risk it all? Like, did they have to worry about providing, feeding people? Like, is that a thing? Like, you right now, you and your wife, you want to just, whatever, let's go. Worst case scenario, you two are homeless, right?
Yeah.
You just lose it all and you have to restart from the bottom. See, that for me, it's a little different. I don't want to put children into homelessness. That's not an option for me. So well, I have to do a calculated risk assessment for anything.
Yeah, I mean.
So yeah, for me, it's not an option to get crazy. I have to do what's the highest I've like right now. I've looked at my career and I've gone, what's the for me that my career is stable and steady. What's the fastest route? And the easiest or fastest, easiest route, I guess, not really easiest, but fastest route for me to make maximum amount of money. And I'm doing it now. And so, but it's stable and it's secure. I don't have to really worry about much unless I get shit canned at a job, but that's not going to happen.
Yeah. I mean, you took that risk, left your old job and, you know, knew you're going to get this other job. And, but it was a huge risk because you could have came out and, you know, they could have been like, it's taking too long. And then just, you know, redacted the offer.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And then you're huge out risk. There and it's like, oh no. But yeah, you take that risk and you get to where you want to be.
I would have been out here with 190K in my pocket, so I wouldn't have been screwed, but
yeah, I mean even so, you could like rented a house and be like, yeah, we'll just pay the entire year up front.
Oh yeah, no problem. And I would have found a job. It would have, no problem. But anyway, that's where I feel I'm really, I don't know. I feel like having, it's essential. And I know everybody wants to be a billionaire and wants
a
private jet.
No, I don't want $1 billion. You know, I have a steady goal in my head, 3 million. That's it. That's all I want. 3 million.
Nothing wrong with that. And there ain't nothing wrong with saying, hey, I want to be a mechanic. There's nothing wrong with saying, hey, I want to do this for a living. It pays decent. I want to do this.
The second I get $3 million, that's my limit, because I'm like, okay, I can take $3 million, invest that, get a steady 5% return every year, and make $150,000 a year, and live really nice.
There you go.
I can just go and travel. I can be like, okay, I'm gonna go out on a cruise. And, if I have this mechanic shop and it's still making money, it's like, okay, hey, guess what, guys? You're all going to get a Christmas bonus, because I'm not looking to make $1 billion. I'm not looking to make money that I'm not going to use. I can't say that for sure. I can't be like, oh, yeah, when I hit the future, I'm going to be, a super duper nice guy. I could hit, 3 million. I'm like, maybe 5 million. And
well, quite honestly, when you get 3 million, like 2/3 of that will be mine, so you probably want to get more.
Well, you're not going to get any of this money.
Yes, I am. I'm your wife.
But be able to travel to Japan, and it's like, okay, I'm going to go travel to Japan, and I'll have a little over $10,000 a month to just spend, like, boom, ba doom, boom, boom, and have a great time. That's what I want. That's my goal. And if I have this mechanic shop, I can be like, here, you guys take care of it. I'll come in and check in on it. I'm going to go on vacation. And, I might come back and be like, I want to work for a little bit. Boom, 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 boom. Go to classes. Hey, you go to class. And it's like, oh, the boss is here. Oh, don't worry. The boss is super chill.
I have a weird thought or idea to your mechanic shop idea.
What?
So hear me out, and here's my thing. So, how did all these degrees and stuff come about? What happened? When you set up colleges and things, you didn't just go, how can you teach a class? What they did back in the days, they took people with experience, right? Real world experience that did stuff. Oh, you're a archaeologist and you did 20 years doing archaeology site, whatever. Okay, you can teach in archaeological programs at this college, whatever. Anyway, it's different now, but that's how it used to be. Well, it kind of still is like that, but they need the degree. But before they had the degrees, it was like that. So for your electrical mechanic thing, since, you'll probably, it's going to be about, I want to say probably maybe 15 to 30 years before they're going to be needed, insanely prevalent, because they're still going to be combustible diesel motors out there.
Here in 50 years, I'll be like 80. I'm like, will it, pan out? But, here's the thing. Electric cars are around right now. I'm not going to go out and buy a mechanic shop. And
you literally brought me a Prius, so.
Yeah, I got you a Prius so you can get to work.
Well, hold on. Don't cut me off. Just listen to me for a second.
Go.
So instead of doing the mechanic shop and owning a mechanic electrical shop, why not get a job with a company that does electrical repair now on vehicles? That's all you do. You get really, really good at that. And then when it comes time for there's so many electrical vehicles. Now all these mechanic shops have to be electrical car shops instead of just Tesla here and a couple ones here. Now they all have to do it. Now there's a school out there that needs people to teach people how to work on these vehicles. Now, how do they, you have the experience and you've been doing it, and you can now, you make money teaching people to get certified to do it, because they're going to want certified people to work on their cars, but they're going to need who makes the certification? No one's going to have it by then. By then, you be the person that's like, I have all this experience. I know exactly what I'm doing, and now I can teach these classes, and then you can make bank off of school teaching people to get certified and certifying them. Yeah,
go and
make way more
shop,
money.
Going shop to shop
now,
and back.
Now, hey. Now instead of having a shop, you don't have to go shop to shop. They just send their people to you, and now instead of having a shop that makes money off of repairs, you have a school with little to no overhead for equipment and stuff, no labor. And you're just you're teaching people to get the degrees. And now you're in the bracket with the schools. Now you're getting all that. And the companies have to dish it out because they have to have the certified people. Because why would someone go to the shop with somebody, oh, I know what I'm doing? Or like your wife just said earlier, oh, we're certified. Oh, I'm going to who's certified. I'm not going to go to somebody that thinks they know what they're doing. I'm going certified.
Well, I mean, it's going to be, the cost difference. Like, if you pay someone to paint your house, for instance, you know, and you find some, you know, dude off of Craigslist, I can paint your house. It's $100 per room. I don't have any, you know, I'm not licensed, bonded, or insured, but, yeah, I can do it. And then he gets in there and just destroys your house, and now you have to pay him anyway, and then pay somebody else to that is licensed, bonded, and insured to come do it properly.
Yeah. Yep.
So it's all
if you want done permitted. Yep.
Yep. So
I'm just saying, I think that'd be a good idea because they're not there yet. And so to get into it now, when it's in the super early stages, that's how everybody makes their millions or billions or trillions.
Yeah, you invest in the ground level.
It's early. Yep, ground level. And technically now it's still ground level. So if you wanted to become like a master electrical technician and open up a electrical technician school later on, and I'm pretty sure those things, since they're going to be needed, you could probably hit up the federal government and be like, I need a federal government loan because y'all need this. And so can I have a loan, business loan for the federal government with no interest?
Doing that and learning how to repair the electric chargers too, because they're going to have those everywhere. They're going to have to build that infrastructure. Because think about it.
Building a company to dispose of the dead lithium stuff.
It takes 30 minutes to charge your car compared to 5 minutes. So 6 times longer to charge your car. They're going to have 6 times more battery chargers.
Me and Eleanor have been talking about this. Like, all these gas stations are going to be charging stations with way more space needed.
Yeah. So your 6 times as many.
And so we've already been talking about it. Like,
yeah, like I talked to one dude over in like Chama, and he's like, yeah, I bought the thing to charge electric cars, and, you know, I don't think he really knew what he was doing, but he's like, yeah, for, you know, I think about it for like $60,000, and then he has to like pay the electricity, but he's
so
like, what can I charge?
So we thought of this, and we thought of, you know, those big, huge, long strips of just like in Nevada and stuff where there's tiny little towns. They're just trucker routes is what they are.
Yeah.
Essentially, you just use them to travel the country. And, you know, like truckers eventually they hit their mileage. They get tired. They just have to stop at one of the big trucker stops. I was like, make those trucker stops with a crap load of charge stations and have like a bunch of amenities around them. Because now the trucker, you used to be able to stop, like you said, 5, 10, 15. You stop in, get some snacks, fill up your car, rest for a second, and leave. Now people are going to stop for 30 minutes. And so what are you going to do in those 30 minutes? What if there's a bunch of stuff to do in those 30 minutes?
Well, here's the thing. These warehouses should have a way to charge your truck while you're sitting there, because the warehouses will be able to make money off that while they're unloading your truck. Here, we're going to charge your truck while you're sitting here and, you know, wheel it out. Here you go.
Sure. But then not just trucks, you got to think everybody, people traveling, stuff like that. When we were in West Virginia up in the mountains, we stopped at a place, and one side of the gas station was, it was a Sheetz, I think. Yeah, it was a Sheetz. One side of the Sheetz was fuel and diesel, was gasoline and diesel fuel. And then the other side was just straight electric car charging.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn, they're already on it. They already figured it out. And guess what? I seen 4 Teslas over there hooked up.
Yeah, there's going to be more. NIO is, the Chinese one. And it's going
to
be great.
That's a big thing to get into. Install these places, learning how to install them. Like, getting with Tesla, how do you install these things? Like, that's a huge – owning a company that just installs them.
Yeah,
gas station in the country is going to need them. So that's another huge business right there.
Yeah, I mean, honestly – if people
electric
listen,
cars bring so much more than just electric cars. There's so much more infrastructure that goes into it than just electric car.
Yeah, it's electric car, build the chargers, maintain the chargers, and all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, I mean, this is great.
Yeah.
And, that's all we got for this podcast.
Like, I found a company right now. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm yakking.
Yeah, no. Like, I usually keep these ones at 30 minutes. But yeah, okay. Like, you know, these other two have been quiet. Sean's over there playing Magic on his phone. He's like, oh, yeah.
I don't blame him. I need to look at that new Dungeons & Dragons set. Oof.
But yeah, like, you know, how do you feel about, you know, moving to a new job that, you know, has a good possibility of making you happier.
I'm so relieved. I am so relieved.
And are you willing to take, you know, even a minor pay cut?
Oh, yeah. I'll be dropping down like it. I'll lose at least $1 an hour, if not more. But it's going to be worth it because I'm going to finally be happy again at my job.
Over 2 weeks for $1 an hour, 80 hours, that's only $80.
I know.
So, you know, at this level of where we're at right now, this isn't real money that we're losing. When you're like, okay, I, you know, jumped up $10 or $100 or I got a $250,000 bonus, then it's like, okay, now you're talking about some real money.
Well, yeah, what is it? $1. Just keep in mind, $1 an hour
is $80 every 2 weeks.
I equated to the yearly income. I just go $2,000. It's $2,080 if you work 40 hour a week.
Nothing.
It's $2,000 a year. $2,000 a year. It with no overtime. Just a little bit more than $2,000 a year. Nothing. But yeah, once you get 10, now it's $20,000 a year. Okay.
100, you know. You can be making $120 an hour. You know, doing some simple stuff like if I enjoyed being around computers, then I'd be, you know, a tax person, but not really. So, I mean, like, obviously I have a ton of computers, but it's like I don't enjoy just sitting and just doing the same monotonous thing every single day.
Exactly.
It's not for me. But that's all we got for this podcast. We'll see y'all next week. I got, you know, some banger questions for
banger or banker.
Banger.
I was trying
questions
to be funny.
For and banker questions for Derek.
Some sausage questions.
Yeah, whatever.
Sausage questions.
Bye.
Peace.